Man, CUNY Radio. My name is Corey Cool. I represent Cool University. What's going on, man? Did you miss a brother? Did you miss me? For real, don't be lying. I missed you, man. You know, this is the rap podcast you need in your life. Before we go any further, you know the deal, man. Do me a favor. Like, man, leave a comment, 5-star rating, whatever you think is fair. Most importantly, share it, man. I told you, man, these listens hurt me so bad. They hurt me so bad, man. All right, but it's important. Please share. We part of this tribe, man. I got to continue to grow. Keep good music and good music conversation alive. What up, though? So truth is, man, it's been a long time. You know, we got some catching up to do, you and I. First things first, I had COVID, man. That motherfucker got me, man. And when I tell you, it took me out. Not only to take me out, took my wife out. But not so much in like a sick way, like coughing and stuff. I'm tired. Like right now, I am tired. I could barely keep my eyes open the last few weeks. And I started to let another episode go past. I'm not gonna hold you. I started to. But I had to show up here. You know, put me out from radio for the last couple of weeks. Yes, I was banished from the WHPC studio. put me out from working with Connoisseur for the last couple of weeks. Haven't had the opportunity to get with my Nobody Cares About Father's Day guys. Put me out with them. Shout out Deb, shout out Holly. As well as put me out with the, you know, Cigars and Whiskey podcast as well. Shout out GB, shout out Ronco. So I've been down, man. I've been down for a while. And like I said before, you know, I thought about letting another week go. But I am like Weekend at Bernie's, sitting in this chair right now. But I'm here to talk to you. I missed you so much, man. I miss doing this so much that you're just gonna have to bear with me. You know, got the heat running in the background because I'm freezing. All right, so you're just gonna have to bear with me. All of this is a work in progress, but I'm starting to get my way back, hopefully back to a, you know, more you know, scheduled pace. Might have to start recording the car again just to ensure that I'm here with you. What else have I been up to? Since, you know, I've been down for a little bit, I did have a chance to read. You know, your boy is always gonna read something because it's fundamental, fool. Got myself a new book. It's called Your Next 5 Moves. Mastery. Master the Art of Business Strategy. This is by Patrick Bet David. Really about the process of becoming like a better business strategist. And he gives you these 5 steps. I learned a lot about, you know, myself and kind of like my desire to keep these things going. You know, but how can I put this? You know, I'm not an entrepreneur. I'm not good at it. I'm really not. It's the reason why you like, yeah, I get it. That's why you got, you know, gaps in your episodes. But it's the truth. But, you know, it did help me look at myself, you know, as if I was a company or something, you know, dealing with problems. It was very helpful with learning how to deal with problems and, you know, how you're looking at it and how you decide, you know, to take ownership of your problems, and you know, that kind of helps you hurry up and get to the bottom of them. So I got a couple cool things that I wrote down in the book. Where is it at? Why do you have? Oh, who do you have in your mentor vault? And that's cool to kind of like, you know, you know, who you need to call on when things are getting tough. Another quote I picked up is, you can have anything you want, but not everything you want. And I thought that was so riveting. You dig what I'm saying? Because it's true. You know, you can have anything you want when you put your mind to it, but you can't have everything. You know, certain things are just not good for you. It's helping me, you know, figure out a way, you know, to make better on the relationships that I have, and to prevent more problems than you solve. So like I said, man, that book is called Your Next 5 Moves, Master the Art of Business Strategy, Patrick Bet David with Greg Dinkin. It's a very, very nice book. A lot of tips on clarity, strategy, growth tactics, skills, and insight, man. It's fundamental, fool. Make sure you go pick you up something, all right? You know, another reason that I crawled up to this microphone is because it's Grammy time, man. I was so tired. Like, how do I possibly get sick during, you know, the most important time in music? The 66 Grammys have come and gone. That's right, 66 years this ceremony has been taking place. A lot of big winners out there in Los Angeles. But you know, there's only like a couple that really matter. It is what it is, to you and I at least. You know, we're not worried about the pop vibes, not yet at least. We got best hip hop album, you know, matters to us. Best R&B album of the year matters to you and I as well. Album of the year could matter to you and I, depending on who takes it. Before we get into those things, there's kind of a few things that I want to unpack here. I want to lead with, well, are they important anymore? Is a Grammy important anymore? For a person like myself, yeah, it's like the Super Bowl of music, you know? In fact, one of my biggest dreams and aspirations is, well, not to, you know, to win one or anything like that, but to become a Grammy voter. You know, I have been doing endless homework. You know, but online, they only want you to get so far. Only so much information that's given. You know what I mean? I want to go to Clive Davis joints. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to need Clive Davis to live to 115. Clive, you got to live to about 115 to give me a chance. You know what I'm saying? But now, of course, you know, voting is such a tough feat because... you know, it's like, a, was it 12? Let me see. How many voters is it now? How many Grammy voters are there? Okay, so here we go. It's 13,000 plus. All right. And, you know, that have Recording Academy memberships. Industry professionals, that is. And the process is vigorous, all right? Usually it's fellow performers, songwriters, producers, engineers, and other creatives that are currently working in the music industry. I'm not really sure how many radio individuals are voters, but I'm pretty sure there's some because, you know, it's a very important part of the music process. To be inducted in, you know, they want you to pay some monthly dues. $100 a month. It's pretty heavy, right? For the little old you and I's. Me. I'll take the blame. Me. And you have to be ushered in by not only one, but two fellow voters. So if you are out there and you have any information for me, if you are a Grammy voter yourself, or you have any information that I do not have, and trust me, I have a lot of it, please hit me up, man. I would love to meet 175-year-old Clive Davis at the party and be like, yo, bruh, I made it. But the next thing I want to kind of talk about, you know, as far as importance goes, is, I mean, is it important to the average person? You know what I'm saying? Like, does the average person still care about Grammys? My timeline is just filled up with, you know, industry cats and executives and, you know, things of that nature. So you can see that how important it is to them and how much it just kind of takes up my timeline all, you know, all weekend. It's the parties that I'm just jealous of, and everybody's dressed so nice and things of that nature. And I'm curious, though, about, you know, everybody else who's not really paying attention to music like that. Does the average person really care about the Grammy? So what did I do? I went to my trusty IG poll and I said, hey, everyday person, will you be watching the Grammys? Hell yeah or hell nah? And man, you'd be surprised. 90% of the voters that voted from my IG poll said hell no. Hell no, I ain't watching that. Ain't that crazy? Hell no, I'm not watching it. And that was shocking to me, you know, because it's like my whole year is circled around numbers and who's gonna win and who's gonna get this and who's gonna get that. And to know that the average person really doesn't care is like, wow, it's almost like, I don't know, like the Pro Bowl. They kind of, everybody else is kind of treated like the Pro Bowl. And now, you know, while we're here, I have a beef with the Recording Academy. Listen, I'm going to give you the best advice, Recording Academy, because you need my advice. You know you do. You guys need to implement the Dave Chappelle no phone rule, because you had some leaks. You really had some leaks. People were telling me who won and the show didn't even start yet. Okay? So I need you to get it together. Now, as far as the importance to the artists, right? That's also a tricky little space. Because I believe the artists themselves, you know, have, I don't know, kind of traded the Grammys themselves. Once upon a time, it was like beloved. Obviously held as, you know, music's highest regards. And then one day, you know, the hip hop community began to feel otherwise. You know, initially, it was not recognized at all for the Grammys, right? Obviously, it was a new genre. And then it became recognized. And then there was another problem, because it wasn't being televised. And back in 89, you got Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince, who I believe won the first rap Grammy. They actually boycotted the Grammys. I think Public Enemy and all of them, I think, were there as guests but didn't go, or whatever the case is. But they boycotted because they felt that they were not being recognized. you know, not being televised and, you know, after all this time. So when all things were fixed, you know, artists began to complain about, you know, the ceremony itself. Jay-Z comes along and then he actually decided to boycott as well. I believe him and DMX were nominated at the time. And they kind of felt, you know, felt some hate the same way. You know, we'll talk a little bit about Jigga a little later, but so I'm sure that, you know, artists also feel a way who get snubbed and don't win, you know, and maybe have gotten nominated multiple times and haven't won. So that's also a very sore spot for a lot of artists, you know what I'm saying? But in general, there's still, for me, a lot of passion there. And, you know, I thought maybe it was because music itself is just oversaturated, or maybe, you know, the Grammys aren't marketing as well as they used to. You know, the young kids, they don't really care. You know, the young kids who are making music right now, they don't give a shit about a Grammy. You know, like I said, it's a 66-year-old tradition that they can give two shiznaies about. A lot of black artists in general don't really care. You know, based on lack of recognition. But I will say that hopefully they begin to move the needle as far as who's voting. Maybe get some younger people in there. But before you get younger people in there, I need you to add me. And then after you add me, then add some younger people to kind of, you know, kind of show. Because see, that's the, this is the thing. You know, people are always confused about the process. Like, you know, they think, okay, this one has sold the most records, or it was the most popular, that, you know, this particular album should win, or said album should win. But when you have engineers and instrumentalists and writers and, you know, top level journalists, and they're voting for whatever album is going to win, you know, it may not be the one that sold the most. It may be the one with the clearest vocals. It may be the one with the best written songs, or with the best arrangements, you know, music arrangements and things of that nature. So the Academy, when they're voting, they're looking for something way more intricate than, yo, this shit had the club going. All right. So that's something that we all kind of have to consider going forward. And that's why me explaining this to you lets you know that I should be a voter. All right, but listen, let's kind of get to why I stopped by, you know, to talk to you today. And that's just kind of to talk about the, you know, the two awards that I care about the most. The first one is the R&B Album of the Year. Let's run it down, all right? So we had Girls Night Out, Babyface, which was a pretty good album. I do feel like it kind of came and went. You know, I believe that it was, but this is something, see now, this is one that I believe the Academy would be interested in, because of obviously Babyface and his great writing and song arranging and things of that nature. So, you know, maybe it wasn't all in the videos dancing, but it, you know, that this, the caliber of music was worth it. What I didn't tell you, the deluxe by Coco Jones. God is good to Coco Jones, ain't he? Which had some bangers on it, man. I See You was a real strong record on there. I like that Coco Jones project. I ain't even gonna hold you. What else did I like over there? Was that Landmine record on there? Let me see. Come on, Apple. Must I trade you in for Spotify? Because right now you're taking a long time. Yeah, but you know, Headlines, I believe, was a record on there. Let's see. Coco Jones. Yeah, what? Yes. Caliber was a big record. Caliber was a fire record. Double Back was good. No Chaser was good. Spend It, I really, really, really like. Spend It is something I think sounded really, really good as far as me playing it on the radio. Simple, Babyface and Coco Jones. So, yeah, very solid project. And also extremely R&B. There was no swaying. There was no swaying there. Special Occasion by Emily King. I don't know who that is. I don't know what it is. I don't. But that could be a sneaker. See, that could be one the Academy is like, nah, this is what you need to know. Jaguar 2 by Victoria Monet. As a whole, I'm not going to hold you. As a whole project, I did not notice it very well. I do know that that song, Oh My Mama, Oh My Hood, I Look Fly, I Look Good, Test My Swag, Wish You Could. That was enough to gain super duper duper attention. And last night, but not least, Clear 2, Soft Life EP by Summer Walker. And the winner, man, went to Victoria Monet. Very big surprise for me. I'm not gonna lie to you. That was a real surprise for me. Cause like I said, I feel like it was more for the, about the song for me than the project. Shout out RCA Records, by the way. You know, RCA, boy, RCA is very instrumental as far as kicking ass right now. But they had the song Smoke with Lucky Day. That was a good song. And Party Girls with Buju Banton. So, yeah, shout out to Victoria Monet. The last joint was released, when was the last one released? 2020. So definitely took her time with it. Worked, you know, worked her ass off, man. And, you know, took the Grammy at the 66th Grammy Awards. All right. For the best R&B album and best engineered album, non-classical. All right. So shout out to you, Victoria. You put in a lot of work, man. Also won best new artist. How? I don't know. I don't know how she got that. I don't know how she got best new artist, man, because that girl been around for a long time. You know what I mean? But Jaguar 2 peaked at number 22 on the 200 chart. No, I'm sorry, excuse me. Peaked at 60 on the Billboard 200 and number 22 on the hip hop and R&B albums chart. All right, shout out to you, Victoria. All right, good luck with you, with your work. I want to move on, man, to, you know, probably the most important joint to me. You had the best rap album for albums containing greater than 75% playing time of new rap recordings. What that even means, I don't even know. See, I don't even know. But this category was pretty stiff. You had Her Loss, Drake and 21 Savage. Now, okay. That to me was almost like a ringer. Because, first of all, you know, you kind of forget about that album a little bit. It was released November 4th, 2022. So a very almost long time ago, almost, you know, 2 years ago, you know, singles, Rich Flex, Spin Bout You, did very, very, very well as far as performance is concerned. Debuted number one on the Billboard 200. Sold over 400,000 copies. It actually bumped Taylor Swift's Midnight. Did 513 million on-demand streams, becoming Drake's 12th number one album. All 16 tracks debuted on the Hot 100. So this was like the mammoth within the category. You had Metro Boomin, Heroes and Villains. Had that dope record with The Weeknd. And oh, before I go any further, I almost kind of want to just give a shout out to, you know, Metro Boomin. He's been putting in so much work. So much work. So shout out to Metro Boomin, man. You know, a lot of people he put on his back paws to, you know, giving them great production. So it was dope to see him craft his own, you know, kind of thing, you know. Nas, King's Disease 3, which to me, it was my favorite. I know I sound crazy, right? That was kind of one. It was almost my favorite out of the three. The Thun record was fire. Michael and Quincy's fire. 30 was fire. What else we got? First Time was fire. Once a Man, Twice a Child. Those were really, really, really good songs. Commercially, obviously, did not do as much as the first two, even. But six albums in, you know, that span of time between Nas and Hit-Boy, I believe King's Disease 3 was kind of my favorite album per se out of the bunch. You had Utopia by Travis Scott, which I want to say has the biggest numbers out of everything. I want to say it had the biggest numbers. Obviously, Travis's fourth studio album, coming off of a rough time, you know, his live stage show, you know, had some tough things happen there. Some lives were lost, I believe, right? Singles, K-Pop, Meltdown, I Know, did very, very well. I believe sold the most of all of the records of 2023, earned 496,000 equivalent units, 252,000 were pure album sales. All 19 songs from the album debuted on the Billboard Hot 100. Did very, very, very well. So this one had the numbers, leaving it up to the winner. The winner, Killer Mike with Michael. Clap it up for Killer Mike. Now, did not have the numbers, did not have the crowds, did not have the hoopla. But what it did have is the culture. It had the culture of what a classic hip hop album was. And if I'm thinking in terms or in regards to the Recording Academy and what they're looking for in an artist and what they're looking for in an album, yeah, it's kind of right. It's kind of right there. Once again, the Recording Academy is not looking for the numbers. They're not looking for the fanfare. They are a bunch of music nerds that are voting for, you know, a particular album. You know, they're looking for something that is moving, you know. And I believe that Killer Mike, he possessed that in terms of debt, emotional vulnerability, strong ideas, feelings, just sheer rap, you know, from a sheer rap perspective, I can see how they chose this particular album as a winner. He was willing it to. Every publication that he went on, every interview he did, he was saying, my album is surely the best album of 2023. And, you know, he lobbied it, man. He literally lobbied it. He spoke it into existence. Now, in my honest opinion, it was good. He cursed a lot, though. He cursed a lot. I'm like, whoa, Killer Mike, you've got a little potty mouth there. Huh? You've got a little potty mouth there, fella. And the guy managed to get himself friggin' pulled out, you know, in some handcuffs. My man won 3 Grammys, man. 3 Grammys. Wasn't really even able to enjoy it. Apparently they say he was detained after having some kind of like physical altercation with a security guard or something like that. I'm pretty sure throughout the week we'll sort out exactly what happened. But he didn't just pull home Best Rap Album of the Year. He also pulled in Best Rap Song and Best Rap Performance for Scientists and Engineers. Now, prior to this, Mike had only won 1 Grammy before. And that was for Best Rap Performance by a Duo or Group in 2003 for Outkast. And the whole world loves me. What you know about that? What you know about that? But I want to say shout out to Killer Mike because, you know, a lot of people, once again, are looking at the numbers. The streamer, Kai Cenat, he's like, who the hell is this guy? And I get that. That was me with Robert Glasper last year. When Robert Glasper, but from that, I learned a valuable lesson on what the Academy is looking for. They're not looking for the fanfare. You know, they're not looking for what, you know, was on the radio 100 times. That's a part of it. But what they're really looking for is the actual tactical piece of it all. So shout out to Killer Mike. Hopefully everything goes well. Like I said, I'm sure throughout the week we'll figure out exactly what happened. And hopefully you get a chance to get out, man, and or, you know, get yourself clear and begin to enjoy all that success. So yeah, those are the 2 awards that I really cared about. The last one I would have cared about was Album of the Year. Taylor Swift beat out our girl SZA for that, which SZA's album, I really thought she had a chance. If it wasn't for a Taylor Swift, SZA could have got that. You know, SZA actually dropped it way late last year. Like the beginning of 2023, I want to say. Like right before the Grammys last year, she... No, when did she drop? I want to say, let's say, why don't we just go to the tape? Let's go to the tape. SZA, SOS. It was released December 9th. So yes, I was right. Oh, I'm too nice at this. December 9th, 2022. So it, you know, it lasted. Those records played all the way through the next year and change. And it was only right that she qualified for that Album of the Year category. But Taylor Swift, man, she's just a monster, dog. You know, you can't even say nothing about it. You know what I mean? Taylor's album spent a boatload of days at number one and did not leave, I want to say, top 3 or 4 the whole entire year. So yeah, it was kind of like a no-brainer that Taylor had to take that one home, man. The Swifties kicked ass once again. She's won that 4 times in a row now. She is now the person who has won the Best Album of the Year award the most with 4 times. I believe Stevie Wonder is 3 times. So she's in great company, man, and you can't really even get mad about it. But I want to say shout out to SZA, because that is how you release an album. That is what this thing used to be about. You know, it wasn't about just dropping a lot of records. It was about strategy, putting an album out, you know, getting as much as you can get out of each single, each video, each tour, each show. So artists, take notes that how SZA, you know, utilized that album and its rollout, you know, is something you should really take notes on. Nicki, you know, maybe trying something along those lines. We'll see if she can hold on to Pink Friday to as long, but that will probably be a very, very, very difficult task. Kill Bill, Snooze, those songs really, really, really had lasting power. Just, you know, Taylor Swift just happened to be Taylor Swift, man. But what can I say, man? All in all, this Grammy, you know, had some great performances. Miley Cyrus did a little thing, shaking a little tail up there. Lil Durk won Best Melodic Performance with All My Life, All My Life, which means J. Cole got himself one. How many does J. Cole have? I believe that's Durk's first. How many Grammys does J. Cole have? J. Cole has two now. So that's dope. That's so dope. You know what I mean? He got his first number one, and he got an extra Grammy. So big year for J. Cole as well. That fall off, I hear, is coming soon. What else happened? Jay-Z, man. Jay-Z got the Global Impact Award. What a speech he gave. Saying that his wife got all these Grammys, man, and she ain't got the Album of the Year drink. Well, I go on with that. Wish the Renaissance would have qualified. The Renaissance would have qualified. Wasn't nominated. Maybe more attention on the tour than the album. But you know, hey, you know, Beyonce is kicking tail still. Stevie Wonder got up there saying, good Lord, I think my ears was broken. Yo, me and my wife were sitting there like, is the TV working? What's Stevie doing up there? Is the TV working? My shit broke. My ears is broke. Oh no, Stevie, you know we love you. And SZA managed to bring home Best R&B Song with Snooze, I believe. Billy Joel did a great performance, performed his first new song in years. And Trevor Noah did an amazing job hosting. I think I'm going to buy a ticket next year, because most likely, I don't know if I'm going to become a voter in a year and be invited and, you know what I mean, get the schmooze. But I believe I want to buy, I think regular folks can buy a ticket. You want to go? You want to go with me? You know, got to stay in LA a little bit. You know what I'm saying? It's going to cost us. No, man, but what's cool is before this particular night, as far as our rappers go, I kind of want to read to you, man, the most Grammy wins by a rapper. Hopefully next year we get some more ads to this. Let's count it up, man, at five. All right, with five wins, we're going to start at the last spot and work our way up. Five, we got, what was that, Childish Gambino? The Blood Clot? Lil Wayne and Drake, they both have five. Outkast together holds six. Dr. Dre holds seven. Andre 3000 himself has seven. Come on now, what's that about? Does he have like one by himself? Lauryn Hill, maybe she cleaned up that year with eight. Pharrell has 13. Eminem has 15. Kendrick Lamar has 17, but he has been, I think he lost Album of the Year twice. Buddy at 17, Kanye West and Jigga Man tied at 24 for the most Grammys by a rapper. I don't know if his iconic award counts to make it 25, but I believe any one of those brothers can one day bring home another one. All right, so next year, who's coming to the Grammys with your boy? Let's split that airfare down the middle. Yo, man, I go by the name Corey Cool. I represent Cool University. You can find me on the Voice of NCC 90.3 FM every Thursday, 9 to 10 p.m. Yeah, I'm about to be back there playing it cool. Any artists you want your records played, cooluniversity@gmail.com. I'll try to do that for you. Shout out to my guys, Cigars and Whiskey Podcast. They talk relationships, love, and dating like no other. My Nobody Cares About Father's Day podcast family as well. We talk being black superheroes, aka black dads. You know the world can't spin without them. And yeah, I just thank you, man. Thank you for showing up. You know I'm gonna get back with you. All right, bigger and better in the new calendar year. Let's hit reset on the music calendar year. We are starting over. We are starting fresh. And I'll see you. All right. So look, from me to you, have a great day and party responsibly. See you soon.